Once again, it is the news, according to me. Good morning, Tuesday, September 16th, 7:39 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2025. It's the news, according to me. I have I have a lot of things to talk about today. We have, what is today's Tuesday? Yeah, tomorrow, I'm planning to do a live show tomorrow from the worldwide headquarters. It will probably be the last opportunity I have to do that for a little while. I do have some time off next week. I have almost all week off next week. See how that works out for me. I have, unfortunately, I'm going to be working weekends probably for the next month or so because of some days off that I need throughout the next month. I have an interesting opportunity next month, hopefully be able to pull this off, where I will be traveling out to Colorado, Denver area, a place called Red Rocks. There's a Red Rocks Theater out there. It's a auditorium. That's a better way to put it. Chris Tomlin's going to be there. We've seen him perform there before. It is quite an experience. It's all open air. It's kind of in this little cove where all these rocks. It's kind of a naturally built auditorium. It's however this, the seating area and stuff is all. That's all man-made, but everything else is, it's just a beautiful place to go. We're planning on flying out there one day, spending the day there, then hopefully at least be able to do that. I might have to go out the same day and then, see him gather with everybody there for worship that night, and then the next day come back home and hopefully be able to have a day off in between there. It might be one of those deals where I get done with the trip and I have to come right back and take back off again. So who knows how it's going to work, but not sure how it's going to pan out. And I'm trying to get the last week of the month off as well. So I'm trying to cram everything into the first part of the month as much as I can. I'm trying to get the first part of the month off. I'm trying to get a stretch of things off the first part of the month and then a stretch of things off last part of the month, plus those 3 days I need to get off. I didn't take the whole month off. That's what I need to do. I can't find time for this work thing anymore. But please keep sending the paychecks. That would be nice. Almost at that point. There's choices I make with certain vehicles we have that if I hadn't done that, it's kind of dipping into some of our potential retirement opportunities, or the more comfortable we're going to be. But I think it's going to, we can recover. We got a couple years for that. Actually, several years. Hopefully make that work. But, I don't like waiting till we're older and unable to enjoy certain things. I'm already starting to feel the age thing creeping in on my body. I want to accomplish a few more things before my body starts to give out on me and start to, I can still run. I can still, jump and play and do all those kinds of things. So I want to do some things like that. This thing called Canny Cross with my puppy. I think I've talked about it before. We're going to be doing that. It's like an obstacle course with your dog. It's about a 4 mile long run through all kinds of obstacles and do all kinds of stuff with your dog. And so I'm hoping to be at least competitive with that. I don't want to be a world champion or anything on that kind of thing, but I'd like to be able to compete. I think maybe the a over 60 group, maybe I can perform. There's just not that many of us. Most people over 60, by the way, go downtown to Walmart. Go anywhere, not just necessarily Walmart. That's probably the worst place to go. Anywhere. Any event, anywhere, anybody over 60, and see what kind of shape they're in. It's not pretty. All right, I digress. The a few things to talk about. One is, of course, what's in my cup this morning. I have my regular chai, a little bit of Pacific chai, Pacific Island, and big train chai. Mostly big train chai, creamy chai. It's a powdered mix put in there. And then I have my Almond Joy creamer in there. On my backup cup I have this morning, I have sweet peach tea. It's probably at its peak right now. It's not peak tea. It's sweet peach tea. It's homemade. Probably by the end of the day, it'll be just about perfect. I've had a couple cups out of it, so it's starting to, the peaches now are still in the pitcher, which makes it, it starts to intensify the flavoring a little more as it goes. So it'll probably peak out about Thursday, which is when I'm probably going to leave for work. But I've got some things to do with the boat on the way there. Anyway, enough about my stuff. Let's talk about you. Let's talk about what you think about what I think. You need to know I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. I am, however, a guy with a lot of opinions. And I'd like to know what your opinion is about my opinion. I'd like to know what you think about what I think. You can call 812-379-8778. Leave a text or a voicemail with questions, comments, thoughts, responses to anything that I happen to talk about on the show, or anything else that you want me to talk about on the show, or just anything you want to talk about. It could be Creed and Salt. Right? Who knows what it might be? You never know. Some rock band from the past, or some form of tool gadget type thing that's a here we are. We have the issues with the FBI. I want to talk about this primarily today. Larry O'Connell, he's got a website or a channel, YouTube channel called Larry with Larry O'Connor, or Larry O'Connor with Larry. I think it's Larry O'Connor with Larry. You can call me Larry, kind of thing. He has been one who has rubbed elbows with some administrations, been a fairly influential guy in some cases. I think I'm not sure if it was the first administration, Trump's administration. He's been involved in politics quite a bit on higher levels and cabinet levels. I'm thinking the guy was a lawyer at one time, or still is a lawyer, maybe. I don't know for sure exactly what all he's done. Robert Govea, I haven't had time to listen to much of his stuff lately. He's one of my favorite lawyers to listen to, because he does a very good job of kind of bringing law cases down to earth. He'll read through transcripts of legal cases and make it kind of entertaining. He does a very good job of that. This Larry O'Connor he's just a no holds barred kind of, shoot straight kind of guy. Very good at putting things together. And one of the things he put together recently was this whole thing with the way the media and people on the left are treating what has happened, and the pushback that they are giving to this guy wasn't a left wing radical. He had a really good piece. I think it was yesterday that he posted it. And I heard it. I actually listened to it again this morning, because it was the parts of it were really good. I was gonna actually pull some of the information out as some of my show prep, and play some of the clips out of there. However, I think what I'm going to do is play his actual show. I'll be doing that tomorrow, and I think I'm going to do it live on the live show tomorrow, because it's actually very it's very well done, and I'm going to give him full and total credit for the way he put it together, the way the media, the legacy media, MSNBC, CNN, ABC, all these companies that are putting things out there that are again, talking about the president and how he's not tampering down the rhetoric, he's increasing the rhetoric. Well, that's not what he's known for. He's known for just all the stuff about it, just the ridiculous perspective that they have. And the hypocrisy, there's endless hypocrisy. That's one of the things that Liberal Hive Mind, the channel, he puts out three or four videos a day. the abundant hypocrisy of the left is what he calls it. He goes, this is, you know, welcome to liberal hive mind, where we talk about the abundant hypocrisy of the left. And it is. It's abundant. It's every day. It's all the time. They cannot see themselves. They never look at themselves. I think it's a proverb, or is it in James? It's in James. This idea that you can look in the mirror, see your condition, and then walk away and forget about it. That has to do with introspect and self-reflection, self-awareness. It's not selfishness. It's being aware of, you know, being honest with yourself is what it's called. You can't be honest with yourself. And that's what they're not. They are not honest with themselves. When you have what's called a plank in your eye, you can't see the speck in your neighbor's. There's so much I could go so far with that whole thing. I'm not going to sit here and do this whole sermon here, but there's so much to be said for this. We need to understand our own condition. It's very humbling to be totally honest with yourself. It's frustrating at that point because you start to see that those things. When you take that plank out of your eye, then you get frustrated by the fact that other people have not done that. There's a whole different level of frustration. Put it that way. And one thing you know about it is you can't change that person. That is a work that only the Holy Spirit can do. Only God Himself can make those changes in a person's heart. Now you can feed into it. You can hopefully plant seeds, but at the same time, that's above my pay grade. I'm not. I have to be who I am. I can't. You know. Hopefully that helps, but it may not. I don't know. Not on me to get that job done. I'm not Holy Spirit. So anyway, hopefully He's can do something through me. That's the whole point of this whole thing. But anyway. Let's talk about the FBI. We have a Federal Bureau of Investigations. Kash Patel. Let's look it up here. Look at the wiki here let's just go over here. Do it this way, because. Come on now. FBI. Let's see what it says. I think there's a wiki on this, and we can kind of go through the whole. We'll start at the beginning here. We have FBI Director is Kash Patel. The Assistant Deputy Director, I believe, is Dan Bongino. Now, I believe he's still there. I know he had talked about actually leaving. And I'm not sure exactly what. Let's see what we got here. How involved he hasn't come out much to talk about this whole thing with Charlie Kirk. Now, I know that he and Charlie Kirk, I know that they had a lot of interaction. I don't know how well they got along with each other. I think they got along pretty well. I don't see anything about Dan Bongino in here at all. It's mostly been Kash Patel. I was thinking he was the assistant director, but maybe not. I don't know. Huh. I don't. Let's go to Wikipedia on this. Here we are. Fidelity. Federal agency. Headquarters, J.R. Hoover. Parent agency. Divisions. Executives. Yeah, Dan Bongino is the. What do you call it? Deputy director, I guess, as well as Andrew Bailey. William Rivers, associate director and deputy director, and Corey F. Ellis is the chief of staff. I don't know any of those people. I think they're familiar names that I just don't know much about them. They are aligned directly under the Department of Justice, the DOJ, Office of the Director of National Intelligence, which is Director of National Intelligence, is Tulsi Gabbard. The interesting thing about some of this is that while all this has been going on, Tulsi Gabbard has been having a continuous and very exhaustive investigation into Barack Obama's involvement into the Crossfire Hurricane investigation. As you noticed, all of a sudden, James Comey got very quiet very quickly. He has not come out and talked about any of this, anything that's gone on here with Charlie Kirk. It's been very quiet anyway, behind the scenes. I don't know if he's even posted anything on, I don't know what he's been doing, but it's been, I think he realizes the situation. I think even he has to realize that it's not a good time to be piping up here. Just lay low. Don't say anything kind of thing. Then you have, he was the former FBI director. Now, you've got people being, the FBI has been gutted from people who were kind of deep state operatives or political operatives within the FBI. By the way, I guess a former Secret Service agent was fired recently. He's former now because he was fired. Because he was, oh no, I guess he wasn't fired. He was put on leave. He or she, I don't know who it was. He, she, or they was put on leave because they were on social media celebrating the assassination of Charlie Kirk. Rightly so. There are things in my occupation, if I post on social media, they will terminate me. And it has nothing to do with national security. Well, there are some things about security that I could probably post and get with regard to aviation. But certainly not, there are things that I could do that would be contrary to company policy on social media. That would get me fired. And rightly so. That's their prerogative. It's an agreement we've signed into. I've agreed to not post certain things or say certain things on social media without approval from the company. Now, there's things I can post. There are things I can't post without approval or permission. And this is the case here. It's the same thing. Which is why James Comey, after having his little meeting with the president in his first term in 2017, James Comey had a meeting with the president where he brought all this stuff out, showed him the dossier. And so I want you to know this stuff's out there, Mr. President. And you know, this is the kind of thing we can help protect you from. Or we can let it go. It was one of those shakedown moments. The president thought about it afterwards and realized what had happened, and he fired Comey, realizing he was getting shaken down. He's not going to put up with that. That's why he fired him. But the bad part about all that was that James Comey then didn't take that to the media. Didn't think it would be right for him to do so. Well, it's against the policy. It's against company policy to take it to the media. So we gave it to somebody else to give to the media. Fully well knowing that person was going to take it to the media. Well, I didn't give it to the media, but this other guy did. And I shared my notes in that meeting with this other guy. So we get one-sided notes. You're just James Comey's notes. Of course, he's above reproach because he taught ethics at Harvard. Or yeah, or someplace. Some, I don't know. Some highfalutin university. So he's above reproach. That's the way these ethical guys do. That's what they do. They understand the ethics of something so that way they can work around them. They know all the loopholes. It's not about being ethical. It's about getting around it, making look ethical. They're really good at that. Well, I can't do that because it'd be unethical, but I can do this, get the same outcome, and then it's ethical. So, yeah, that's how evil works. It's a partial truth, half truth, stretch the truth, bend it around something. So, what we have is an FBI right now that almost comes across as incompetent. You know, we had a DOJ that came out and said, well, we've got all the Epstein stuff, and we came up with all these binders that said Epstein files. And, of course, there was stuff in there that everybody already had. There was even more stuff that people had that it wasn't even – it's all declassified stuff. In fact, there was not as much information in there. Some of the stuff that was in there was redacted. It wasn't even – that's even public information. So it was just ridiculous. It was shameful almost. It was embarrassing that they had this big thing with all these social media folks came out with all this stuff, and they fed them with all this baloney. And they were all very disappointed, and it looked stupid. I don't know if it was Pam Bondi herself that did all that. I doubt it. She seems to be more in tune with going online or going on TV and saying things that are a little outlandish and whatever, trying to get clicks, I guess. I don't know what she's trying to do. And she is actually doing anything. She's not doing the grunt work, the in the ditches kind of. She's not doing any of that, I guarantee you. Just people doing that for her. So it's people on her staff. I think she's got some incompetent people on her staff. That trickles down from the top. Don't get me wrong. That's not an excuse for her. She should be the one picking some better people. You know, so the people who are the PR folks and all everybody else, see everything else going on there. There's things happening there that's just not a good stew. Anyway, the point being, there's a lot of things being shaken up in the FBI right now. You don't have a lot of highly experienced individuals in positions because those highly experienced individuals are the ones that are being gutted out because of their political crap that they've crept into so many different places in the higher up management part of things. I think the average gumshoe street FBI guy out there doing investigations, I think most of them are, the vast majority of them anyway, are, you know, on the up and up, I think. I don't know. The problem is, again, you get stuff trickles down from the top. It's a culture that starts to develop, and people who rise to the top are the ones who are getting picked by the people who have political agendas. So, what ends up happening here is we have an organization, an agency, that is very... It's trying to rebuild. It's trying to get its feet back under itself and it's difficult. During the initial phases of a lot of investigations that have gone on recently, namely the one biggest one I can think of is the Charlie Kirk thing was the most recent, but there was other ones too. The school shooting happened in Minnesota. Event where this wacko crazy guy, who I don't know that he was on a side at all. I'm trying to figure out if he was left or right. I think he was just there are people who are called, they're just anarchists. I think he was probably more in line with an anarchist, just not necessarily a two-party guy. He wasn't one side or the other. He was just a guy who... But the reasons for taking out the two people he took out especially, was very, very strange. And we've never been given any privy to information about the motive on that one. Of course, the media doesn't care. All they care about is, he was a right winger. That's all we hear about. The guy who did the school shooting now supposedly was also a right winger. And of course, this guy who they're even still trying to push back on the idea that the assassin from Charlie Kirk may, we don't know what his motive is yet. We don't know what the motive is. You know, they're holding out hope that this guy was a right wing Trump supporter. They literally are. They're trying to do that. In fact, they're trying to believe all the stuff they're seeing on social media, all the crap that's going out there. This guy was actually, you know, he came from a conservative home in Mormons, and you know, even though his entire lifestyle was, that's never happened before. Kids rebel against their upbringing and they do something totally radically the other direction. That's never happened. So that's where we're at with this stuff. And of course, during this whole process, the FBI initially nabbed somebody. Now, I don't know that the FBI themselves nabbed anybody. I think the actual local officers nabbed somebody. By nab, I mean they picked up somebody right away that they thought was the shooter. Ended up being a homeless guy that everybody knew, I guess, in the area. So that was, you know, everybody kind of knew that wasn't the guy. Well, they don't know that. They're not privy to that information. They thought they had the guy in custody. They didn't. It was the wrong guy. They cleared him very quickly, in my opinion. And they're on to the next thing. And they've done a very thorough investigation of some other things. And Cash Patel had some details on the whole thing about where they found DNA evidence. There was a towel. There was a screwdriver, some other things that they had found DNA evidence on. They have found forensic evidence of a note that was passed back and forth. Now, this investigation is going deeper. It's going beyond just the shooter. It's going to the people who were around him as well. His you know, the main person is his boyfriend, who's trying to become a girl, who's trying to act like a girl, trying to look like a girl. And there were a lot of things passed back and forth there. Now, it's come to find out there is also this. Now, there are what's not been reported very well. I think Vice might have done a documentary on somebody did a documentary on the left's militia, the leftist militia that's out there. There are more than one, but there's kind of some bigger ones that they go around to some of the protest events and that kind of thing, and they wear their AR 15s. They wear their rifles and they have their guns on and they walk around and provide security. They're there for security. They just walk around and they make presents. They look ridiculous. First of all, these are weirdo wackos that have they're trying to make a political statement by wearing their, you know, by going out. And it's not just an issue of Second Amendment rights. They're out there showing force. For a political to be political bullies, it's very different than when somebody who is trying to get these groups that are, they're open carry groups. They'll go out and pick up trash, and they'll all be open carrying, and they're out picking up trash. They'll go to a park someplace or something. They pick up trash, and then you have a little cookout, and they do their thing, and it's an open carry event where they all get together. It's a social event. They're trying to get the public used to seeing people wearing guns, open carrying, and it's more of a relational thing about the Second Amendment. Normalization of the Second Amendment, so people aren't scared of that kind of thing. And that's what, but these guys aren't doing that. They're actually wearing their guns as, they're marching around like soldiers with their guns. You see them at these events. This whole documentary thing was very interesting. Very different attitude that they have about carrying. And I think there are several vast networks of these individuals out there. These types of groups. Of course, now we're being told. We were told by Mr. Wray, former director of the FBI. That the most radical groups out there, the most fearful thing, the most thing we should fear the most, not some kind of radical group from some other country, from some, dare I say, Muslim country, radical Islamists or radical anything. No, it was these radical right-wing extremists, white supremacist, you know, guys. Like the groups that they were picking up randomly here and there. Really weird, all wearing masks and had the same kind of outfits on and that they would pick up. They were all looked like federal agents. They're all men, same age. Those groups we're supposed to be scared of that have not committed any crimes that we know of, other than just helping other people commit crimes. All of a sudden, we're supposed to be, those are the people we're supposed to be really scared of. It's just radical, what right wing white supremacists out there. They're scary. Yeah, and O'Connor, Larry O'Connor, did a very good job of pointing out the fact that, you know, when you start asking them to name the incidents of right wing terrorism, I guess you want to call it, or, you know, violent acts, start naming some of those. Well, Nancy Pelosi was attacked by that right wing guy. Wanted to kill her. I don't know that I would really call that guy a Trump supporter. First of all, he wasn't a MAGA Republican. He wasn't. I wouldn't say he was necessarily. There's a whole lot of shady things going on there, but they're very quick to blame that on the right wing there. Wouldn't say he's a standard right wing guy. Killing of the two politicians in Minnesota. I can't say that was necessarily a right wing guy either. I can't say it was left wing necessarily either. But I wouldn't say he was necessarily a MAGA supporter. Just very strange things there. The motives that guy again, another wacko guy. Now, again, it's not necessarily the incident itself. The incident itself is heinous enough, and it's bad enough, and that they're the responsible party. However, the response to that is what I think is important to understand. And you didn't see anybody coming out and celebrating the fact that the guy had killed these two politicians. It's let alone the fact that they won't even mention when they talk about political violence. And this Larry, he was talking about Joe and Mika on Morning Joe Scarborough. He listed off some of these things that have happened. Oh, you had this and you had that and Scalise. He named off a few things. Every one of the things he named off from the left were nothing burgers. Everything and then he didn't name the big fat juicy gorilla in the room. Two assassination attempts on the president. One of them within an inch of killing him. And the other they found before he got around the corner. And you've got people out there posting publicly on Twitter, which is, again, when you got people publicly putting it out there, you know there's probably another 1,000 people out there who are thinking it, but they're not publishing it because they know better. But their attitude is the same. This guy's out there going, well, what the heck? This guy gets out there one shot, gets it done. And says, well, where were you on, when we needed to get rid of this other guy? Talking about President Trump. He's upset that the first guy didn't do it, get the job done. I digress. We have an FBI right now here's my take on all this. We have an FBI that is struggling, in my opinion, to get its feet back where it needs to be, to develop its skills again to get its act in order. And here is my feeling, my take, my thoughts on this whole thing. Would you rather have an FBI that is very competent, able to do something, get the job done, find something, but it's corrupt at its core and it has the ability to manipulate evidence, lose evidence conveniently, do things that are not transparent, do things behind the scene, and go after people who are innocent and pin things on them and pressure people into confessing to things that they didn't do because they're trying to get a plea bargain, that are politically motivated on one side or the other. I don't care which side it is. Would you rather have that kind of competence, or would you rather deal with a little bit of incompetence and still have an honest, transparent agency that answers to the people, that may not get everything right, may trip over their own shoelaces occasionally, but can get the job done eventually, maybe embarrassingly a little bit to some extent? Which one would you rather have? And of course, I think you can tell by my attitude here. I would prefer the second one. Maybe some of you don't. Let me know. 812-379-8778. Justice needs to be done. Justice is important. Don't get me wrong. But at the end of the day, if justice is served on a plate that's of corruption, then, that's not justice at all. So tomorrow I'll be playing some stuff from Larry O'Connor that he had on his show yesterday. And a lot of it has to do with the media's response. Now they're going after Donald Trump, saying he needs to be more tamped down. He needs to be, keeping even keel, keep calmer heads, whatever. If you remember, right after Joe Biden got elected, he came out and talked. He had this big speech about MAGA Republicans. And he plays part of this speech. It's really weird, creepy speech that he did about this whole thing. MAGA Republicans are this and they're that. He came out and just attacked them like crazy. MAGA Republicans. They're a danger to society. They're an existential threat to our nation, to our Constitution, and to our democracy. He just came out and just vilified them to one into the other. And they hadn't even done anything. They hadn't done anything. What incident are you has motivated you to make all these comments about the MAGA Republicans? What happened here that you're not letting us know about? Was there an attempt on your life? Was there an attempt on some? What happened here? There was no incident. There was no indication of anything, which was just bizarre. So, that's what I'm going to talk about tomorrow, by the way. So let me know what you think about this whole idea about the FBI, whether or not you think they're incompetent. How do you perceive them right now? Do you think that they're doing their job? Because obviously they didn't actually catch this guy. This alleged assassin. They didn't catch him. He was turned in by family. Hopefully it gives you some kind of idea here of what's happening with these people. The family dynamics, everything else that's going on there. Guy turns his own son in. As far as I know, it's his son, I don't know if it's stepson or I don't know what it was, but it was, yeah. I don't know how many kids he has. The Federal Bureau of Investigations didn't really go on to him. They were out there doing a manhunt, but they didn't catch the guy. They were probably hot on his trail, but they just didn't, But they do have all kinds of evidence against the guy. Supposedly, I had heard that the guy came out and confessed. This was late last night. I heard that he actually came up with a confession. I know that his boyfriend / wannabe girlfriend, I think that guy actually kind of broke down and confessed a bunch of stuff. At some point. So I'm not sure how that all plays into this. But anyway, that's where we're at with all this stuff. Again, prayers for the Kirk family, for everyone involved there. They've got a lot of love and support around them, and I'm sure that they are. It is an event that has swept the world, folks. There are people standing in the streets in countries all over the place, even including Canada of all places, where they are raising American flags and singing our national anthem and paying tribute to Charlie Kirk and his family. And for that, we are a nation very grateful that there are others standing up like that. In some cases, they are doing so at their own peril, because there are some nations that are not so friendly, some governments that are not so friendly about that. In fact, our own government wouldn't allow, I think it was Marjorie Taylor Greene, I think she was trying to do a prayer for the Kirk family. And the Democrats had a fit, threw a tizzy fit about that, and wouldn't allow it, basically took away her time. And what, you know, I don't know. I think I would have just stood up and used my time to say a prayer for the Kirk family. You know, follow me if you want to. That's what I would have done. It wouldn't have been a congressional. I think the mistake there was that she was trying to get into the congressional record as a congressional act, which they can also, separation of church and state. She's not a church. Anyway, that's how ridiculous these people are. And there were other countries that were stopping. Now, I think in Europe they pushed back against it. They were trying to do it there too, and they didn't allow it there. There were some South American countries that did it. I think several other countries that actually formally did had at least a moment of silence, which I thought was very respectful, very, very well done, I thought on their part, to have acknowledged that and done that. I think it was, this is having huge ripples around the country. People who were centrists, supposedly, they're left. Most people who say they're centrists are usually leftists. They don't realize just how far the left has gone. They think that they might be in the center of the left. They're not centrists. You start asking them about certain social issues, they go right down the leftist talking points. They might look at MSNBC and CNN with a little bit of a critical eye, but they still follow along with all the rhetoric. And they have no understanding of the founding of the fathers' vision for an individual rights based. Republic, representative republic, constitutional representative republic. It's just they don't, most people on the left do not understand that at all. They still think that the Constitution was given to us by the government, and it's the government holds the rights. The government has given us these rights. No, it's not the way it works. That's what they're trying to change it to. A government that gives us all these rights. No, you're born with them. You were endowed with them when you were born. I would say before you were born, because you were a human being before you were born. But anyway, I digress. We have so tomorrow, the plan, as far as I know, will be to have a live show from the worldwide headquarters. I'm hoping that works out. Because I got to walk the dog, I got to do some other things. So we'll see how that all works out, but we'll see how it goes. Folks, call the show. Let me know what you think about what I think. 812-379-8778. Tomorrow and Friday morning, there probably will not be a show. I don't see any way I can get one in unless I possibly can get up super early for some reason on Friday. Unless there's one in the afternoon, I could possibly do that. That's going to be pretty late in the day by the time I get done anyway. Folks, God bless. Take care. And I will see you tomorrow, I think. Lord willing, and a great deal of eyes. See ya.